A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Avodah Zarah Samach Ches. Avodah Zarah 68A. Pagination is 135. We'll start on the facing page, which is Samach Zayin Amud Beis 67B. Pagination 134. We're midway on the page, the last word on the line. The Gemara tells us from a Braisa. Echad nosin tam lefagam, ve'echad nosin tam leshvach. Whether the forbidden item that got mixed in with the permitted item is giving a negative taste, or if it's giving a positive taste, osur divir Rab Meir. The opinion of Rab Meir is that it will be forbidden regardless. That's not how we paskin, but this is Rab Meir who says that doesn't matter what kind of taste it's imparting, it's always going to be forbidden. The Braisa continues, Rab Shimon Omer, Rab Shimon says, L'shevach Osur. If it's imparting a favorable taste, then it's going to be forbidden. V'lefgam, but if the forbidden item coming into the kosher item is giving a unfavorable taste, mutter, it's going to be permitted. My time at Rab Meir, what is the reasoning of Rab Meir? Goma migu'ulei ovde kochavim. We learn it from the pots of the non-Jews. We have a specific section in Parshas Matos which describes the war of the Jewish people with Midian, and they conquered some booty, and the pasuk specifically says that they should kasher those pots. Geulei ovde kochavim lav nosin tam lefgam hu. Isn't what's in the walls of the pots considered an unfavorable taste? Va'asa rachmona, and the Torah is forbidding it. It's saying that you have to kasher the pots before you use it. Hachanami lo shana, so the same thing would be, if that's the law by what's coming out of the walls of the pots, so the same thing will be if something intact comes into the food, it gives an unfavorable taste, it'll still be forbidden. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. V'idach, and Reb Shimon, the other opinion, Kidrav Huna Bereid Rav Chia, would follow the understanding of Rav Huna, the son of Rav Chia, Da'amar Rav Huna Bereid Rav Chia, who said, Lo Asra Torah Ela Kedera Bas Yoma Delo Lifgam Hu. The Torah was only forbidding a case where the pot is still within 24 hours of its last use. This apparently was a quick battle, and they conquered pots that had been used recently, and since those were within 24 hours, by the time they conquered it, brought it in, had the conversation with their leaders, everything was still within 24 hours. I don't mean everything, but there were things that were within 24 hours, and therefore they had to be kashered. This is a basic principle in practical halacha that we have, that if the pot is more than 24 hours from its last use, in most cases, it will be permitted after the fact, even though it's supposed to be kashered. It's a takana d'rabbanan, we always kasher after a non-kosher use, so that we don't make a mistake what's within 24 hours, what's not within 24 hours, but after the fact, if it's more than 24 hours from its other use, the food will generally be permitted. There's an exception of charif, if the food being cooked the second time is very spicy, then it will activate even a previous absorption. But that's the general rule. More than 24 hours is lefgam, is distasteful, and therefore we don't have to deal with it to forbid the item. And likewise, if an item that's distasteful falls in, certainly pull it out, but it's not going to impact the kosher food if it's distasteful. The question, of course, is how do you define distasteful in every application that might occur? Let's take a look at Amud Beis of today's daf. Samaches Amud Beis 68b, pagination 136. We're just below midway on the page, in the middle of the line, Hahu Achbara, the case of the mouse. There was a mouse, Denafa Lachavita de Shechra, that fell into a barrel of beer. Asre Rav Lahahu Shechra, and Rav forbade that beer. Now this is typical of a ruling that's issued. The ruling is issued, and now we have to figure out why was it issued in that way. If the person is still around, alive, you can go ask them. But otherwise, and in a typical sense, we first try to sort it out. What did the great sage mean when he ruled that way? We're talking about Rav, one of the greatest personalities in Babylonia. We want to know what was the basis for his ruling. Amrua Rabbanu Kamedi Rav Sheshes, they said this over to Rav Sheshes, Neima Kosovar Nosin Tam Lefgam Oser, do you figure that Rav is holding like the Shita of Rav Meir that we just quoted, that Nosin Tam Lefgam is forbidden, and that's why he forbade it, because after all, a mouse in beer, it seems to be Lefgam, it's negative. Amaluhu Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes answered, Ba'alma savarav nosin tam lefgam mutter. Normally Rav would hold that an unfavorable taste would be permitted. V'hacha chidushu, but over here there's a novel ruling. Daha mimis ma'is, because by definition a mouse is something that people view as disgusting. Uvedili inshimine, and people separate themselves from it, they distance themselves from it. Vafilu hachi asre rachmana, and nevertheless, the Torah forbade the mouse. What was it forbidding, if everybody finds it objectionable? Hilkach nosin tam lefgam nami asur. And therefore, Rav's conclusion was that in the case of the mouse, even though it's lefgam, it's a unfavorable presentation, nevertheless it's forbidden, because if the Torah went ahead and forbade something that in general is viewed with disgust, this dead mouse, so if the Torah was coming to forbid it, it was coming to forbid it even though it is distasteful. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Gemara at the end of Makos. It's a Mishnah that Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael lefikei chirbalam Torah mitzvahs. There are cases which the Talmud considers disgusting, like eating blood, and the Torah forbids it, to increase your reward, even if you have no desire. It's another mitzvah on the book that you could give a quick check to. I did it. I observed it. Nice job. So there is a concept sometimes of the Torah issuing a ruling that you personally might consider so disgusting that you would never do it anyway, and still the Torah records it because it's a bad thing to do, and like this, you'll get reward even for things that were easy. Sometimes. Another idea might be that it depends on the generation. In one particular generation, something might be disgusting. In a different generation, perhaps that would change. We would need to know if you could apply such a concept after the Gemara went on record and said it's disgusting. Does it really change in generation or not? If the Gemara kind of codified it, that this is something that goes to the very nature of human beings, normal people find this objectionable. Be that as it may, that is the ruling of Rav, and we had one approach, perhaps, as to what the reasoning of Rav might be. As I mentioned, to codify that a mouse is disgusting and assume that that's true in every generation, that needs a little work. Can we say that? Or do the approaches of society change with time? Are they considered abnormal, or that's what society is doing? And therefore the Torah forbade it, because the Torah is forever, and there'll be a generation when people will want to do this. Let's see the Gemara's next approach, which is the last word of the small lines. Maskiv la Rav Simi min Nahardo. Rav Simi of Nahardo asked the following question. Umi mois? Really? You're telling me that mice are disgusting? Fala ola al shulchan shel malachim. These are things that are served on the royal table. Remember, we talked about ola al shulchan malachim regarding bishul akum, foods that a non-Jew can cook or can't cook. It depends if it would go on a royal table, if it's fitting for a state dinner. Asks Rav Simi min Nahardo, you're telling me it's disgusting? What are you talking about? They serve it. So if it goes into the beer, you can't just automatically say it's disgusting. Amar Rav Simi min Nahardo, Rav Simi min Nahardo responded, Lo kasha, it's not really a question. Ha b'didavra, ha b'dimasa. It depends, it's a field mouse or a city mouse. If it's a field mouse, so that tastes good. If it's a city mouse, so that does not taste good. So the case of Rav, we could assume that if he was forbidding it, it was a field mouse that fell in. But had it been a city mouse, then our basic principle of nosin tam lefagam would apply. Okay. And indeed in halacha, this distinction is made. And if you want to paskin shilas and delve into the practicality of halacha, you have to be willing emotionally to enter this detailed field of what's considered disgusting in the taste that it imparts and what is considered not. Amar Rava, Rava says, therefore, in conclusion, Hilchasa, the halacha is nosin tam lefgam mutter. If it imparts a distasteful taste, it's going to be permitted. Just pull it out and you can move on. Va'ach b'ra b'shichra, and the case of the mouse in the beer, lo yadana my time at the Rav, I'm not sure what Rav's reasoning was. Imishom dekosav nosin tam lefgam asur v'les hilchasa kavosei. It could be he holds that distasteful things forbid, and we just don't paskin like that. Imishum de kasavana satam lefgam mutter, or maybe his reasoning is that imparted flavors that are negative are going to be permitted. Va'ach bra b'shichra ishbuche mishpech, and he holds that this mouse in the beer gave a favorable taste, and that's why he was forbidding it. Tosfos asks an interesting question. Hahu achbara tema dhatzonin betzonenu velishteri. There's no heat over here. It didn't get cooked in the beer. It fell in. Tosfos assumes cold, and it doesn't impart any flavor. And Tosfos answers it was in there for a while. V'kavush hareyu kemevushel. If it's pickled in there, so to speak. If it stays there for 24 hours, it's considered like cooked. It's there for that amount of time, and that was the reason for concern. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.